What's up?
Oh, nothing much, man. It's awesome to get the chance to talk to you because I've been like begging for this to happen, you know?
Yeah, we've been basically traveling, whether it's for shows or for doing stuff for our album release, for like the last month nonstop. So today's like this week is like the first week I get to kind of stay in one place for a little bit. So that's trying to catch up on this stuff. So sorry to keep you waiting.
No, it's okay. Perfectly on time. It just turned 10 and then you joined the call. So I was like, oh, perfect. It's fantastic. So there we go.
Here we are.
Yeah, I was about to ask too, because I know like you had the Trinity of Terror Part 1 tour and we were at that, the whole thing. And then you have the release of the album and then you have Trinity of Terror Part 2 coming up. And I was like, when does this guy have time off to do anything for himself, you know?
We've been moving, man. It's wild to me how it went from one extreme to the other. I mean, I feel like we did have a warm-up tour last September. We did some festivals, a couple shows here and there, and then we were off until early this year. So it was like kind of a one-off tour where it was like 15 shows. It felt like, oh man, we're back. This is great. And then it was 5 or 6 months off. And then as soon as Trinity of Terror 1 started, it just exploded. And it's crazy to see like what normal is now is back to 100%. But it's awesome because it's, you know, we had a year and a half away from touring, so I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know like my friend Braxton, it was his first concert. I took him with me to see you guys, and he's a giant fan of yours. Like, and so we were sitting there in the middle. And I'm already like, I'm 6'9". You can't tell by the camera, but like I'm standing there in front of everybody. I'm getting yelled at because I'm blocking their view. And then as soon as you guys come out on stage, open up and everything, like the whole crowd started to push me towards. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm just going to the right. I'm not going in there.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like you're 6'9". That's some Viking right there.
Right.
So, yeah, you're getting pushed around by a bunch of kids at a venue is very, a very funny visual in my mind.
Oh, because there was a wave of kids. Yeah, a wave of kids were pushing me. Not like just one or two people. I just turn around and I see dudes like just go to the rail. And yeah, just, and I was like, I'm not surviving this whatsoever for you guys, Einstein Kills and Black Veil Brides all in one night. But I'm so happy that like your guys' album Scoring the End of the World is doing so well from what I've seen all over Twitter and you know all the different sites saying it's amazing. And I actually ended up playing it during my show from start to finish just because I was so excited for it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and people were
That's a big move. There's some songs on there that are very very topically aggressive. So I appreciate you taking the risk and putting it out there, but that's really cool. It makes me happy.
Yeah, we're like the only station playing Slaughterhouse on the regular. Like we play it like 7 in the morning. And it's so funny whenever time I talk on the air and I just go like, all right, in less than 10 minutes, I'll talk about this. And I hit the screen button and I just hear Brian from Knocked Loose screaming in the headphones right away.
It's crazy to me to think like, imagine being on your way to work, just pissed off that early in the morning and then just hearing that song. Mm-hmm. I would have a very interesting commute and work day after getting pumped with that one going in.
Right. Yeah. Cause we're like the only station that we have this feature called the Metal Morning Wake Up Call. And our boss Victor will play like Lorna Shore at 6 a.m. or Slaughter to Prevail or one of those songs that you're like, I'm listening to this early in the morning. But we played Slaughterhouse, of course, because I have my last name's Peach. I go by Peaches on K-Bear. So I have this thing called Peach's Pit, and I open up the pit, and, you know, the guy who runs away from the mosh pit during your concert has a mosh pit type feature.
Don't tell anybody.
Right, right.
No, that's great. I love that metal is, or like the extreme metal in the context of, you know, radio in any format is getting its chance. There's a lot of fans out there and they want to hear that stuff. So it's really cool that people like you are putting it out there and giving fans what they want. It's not a common thing.
Yeah, because I know like when I'm from the Southern California area and they have the famous stations and whatnot, but they don't play any of the metal. And me and my boss like get so mad because you hear these stations just playing Sublime all day. And then you have these true metalheads that are like, I want to listen to, of course, Motionless in White and everybody else that puts out great music out there, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually in Southern California right now that you say that.
Oh, really?
definitely not a a very heavy radio presence, really. I know that there's a lot of like fans that are on radio that try to squeeze it in, but they're like so restricted by whatever type of overseer that tells them that they can't. And I just think it's awesome when either they just are like, nope, we're gonna go ahead and do it anyway, or like you, who just build a whole show around it. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. And I love the sound of it, because I love like the 80s type sound with it, like the futuristic vibe kind of thing for most of the songs, especially Werewolf of Two as well. Like, what made you guys go with that direction? Because I know like there's the evolution of like all your guys' albums from 2010 to now.
I think, I'm going to say probably the pandemic was like a very video game heavy period for some of us, just to have something to do with the time. And we were kind of just like, man, this is like stuff that we've always been interested in, but never had the means to really try out bringing that in as a whole package deal with the whole band, as far as sound, visuals, photos, etc. So we kind of just assessed what that would look like and how to approach it, and mixed a lot of like cyberpunk influence with the like just all kinds of things that we loved from video games and other popular aesthetics, and thought that would kind of create a world that felt appropriate to the subject matter. And that's just what we do. We try to give like one big picture package deal whenever we do an album, and this one is by far our favorite for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing, really. And did you play cyberpunk when it first came out? Like, you mentioned the cyberpunk, so I'm like, did you play the video game at all?
Yeah, glitches and all, or all the, you know, everyone freaking out about it not working and being a broken game and everything. I actually migrated more to, I hate saying it, I have a bunch of friends that play the Call of Duty games, so I just played with them. That was the easiest one to get everyone to play together. So we had more of that than anything else, but I tried to venture all over the place, from Doom to Cyberpunk to Call of Duty, Halo, all the games I wanted to play or love and just had time to do. And that was really fun.
And I'm just picturing you like getting angry, like rage quitting on Call of Duty and screaming the way you do on stage. Like, just like, that'd be fantastic to hear.
I should do it. I should do a TikTok series where I play and put the microphone on, and every time I get killed by somebody, I just in the microphone or something.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Because I know, like, when I was listening to some other interview with a UFC fighter, Stipe Miocic, and he was talking trash to some kids, and the kids were insulting him back. And it's like, do you know who you're talking to? It's a UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah,
like that type of thing. Oh, that's great, man. Because I'm so happy the album's doing so well. And then I also saw, like, because when I went to Twitter once, I was actually in here just looking at there was this right computer monitor, and I saw there was a signed copy of the album for like $10. I was like, buy immediately. But then I saw there's cassettes like now popping up everywhere of like these newer albums. Like, do you think there's going to be a resurgence of like cassettes version of these albums?
It's tough for me to say, because I feel like it's just a collector item situation. Like with vinyl, I know some people actually listen to the vinyl, but I think it's still just like the nostalgic collectability aspect of it that makes it so hot. Don't know if cassettes will hit the status of where vinyl currently is, but we did really well with them. And whether or not that's because we didn't have vinyl or not, I don't know. But our fans love the collector's items. I love being a band that can offer things that people want to collect and have. And then when they show pictures of all the CD variants, all the cassettes, it's just like, man, that's like so sick that somebody wanted to have all these somewhere and just look at them. Like, just it's wild to be a band and have that kind of fan base that wants that stuff. So I hope cassettes make a comeback, because that's my era. That's when I started listening to music, was cassettes.
Right. Yeah.
It was after vinyl.
I think I had a cassette when I was a kid, because I was born in 1996, to not make you feel old in any way, but I was born then. And my first cassette was for my parents. It was Devo, the 80s group with Whip It. Nice. That's all I listen to.
Nice.
But I do see like the Bright Orange cassette tape from you guys. I'm like, I kind of want to get that because that's extremely cool to see, really. And I see your fans on Twitter going berserk, buying everything and like having these giant bundles of the different variations of your guys' album. The fan base is so crazy. I love the way that your guys' fans are so into it and with everything. And I'm sure you've had like fans like myself who've grown up with you guys since like the beginning, pretty much. And how does that, like, is it crazy to see those fans that have grown up with you?
That's some of my favorite to see, because I think that, you know, every time you put on an album, or at least I think for the past couple albums for us, I think that's when most people who are fans now have kind of discovered us. So like when you play live, you kind of watch a bunch of people stand there and not have any idea what's going on when you play the older songs. But I like to look at the fans, and when you can see a fan that's like, I was there when you put out this record, or, oh wow, it's crazy to see how far you've come from this record to this one. I remember being at this show where you guys played for 300 people. Like it feels like a deeper connection because you've just been around longer and you can kind of connect over a way longer evolution of the band. That's not to say I don't appreciate newer fans. That sounds like I'm saying that if you're a newer fan, then you're frowned upon. Not at all. I think it's awesome to get into a band and then have all that back catalog to go and explore. That's equally as amazing. So I don't have a favorite of any by any stretch, but I do love the connection you share with the fans who have grown up with us, because we've all been evolving together, and that's a rare, unique thing when you've been a band this long. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, because I think when I first was introduced to you guys, it was back when I was in high school, and there was this little part of the campus called Emo Hill, and that's where all the cool band kids would hang out, and like that's where they would have like the band t-shirts, and I would hang out with them even though I was on the basketball team, and those were all the popular kids over there on the other side. I'd go to this hill because they would have the best like music opinions and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just crazy that like those, and then I heard you guys for the first time like a while back, then kind of like, I don't know if I stepped away or if I just did not listen or something like that, but then I came back for the, you know, Disguise, Thoughts and Prayers and all those other songs, of course. And then really just Scoring the End of the World just like got my attention with Masterpiece, of course. And, you know, Scoring the End of the World, the title track, the Red, White and Doom with Caleb Shomo from Beartooth, which fantastic. Cause do you just hit up your friends and say like, hey, let's do a track together. Like, what is it?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, hold your breath and hope that they answer. Sometimes it's just, you know, with Caleb, it was very much, I just texted him, and shout out to Beartooth putting a new song out yesterday, by the way. Yeah. That's cool when you have that connection with someone where you could like just text them. I'm usually too anxious to do something like that, but Caleb's like the coolest dude in rock and roll right now, and you feel comfortable to like reach out, and he was just like, hell yeah, brother, I got you. Like, he's in it, like, truly in it for the rock, and he is a pro through and through. So he was just like, yep, totally, send me the song, and totally crushed it. Sounds amazing.
Right, yeah, Beartooth kills it every time. And, like, same with Brian from Knocked Loose. Like, you just teamed up with him as well and kind of just said, like, hey, I want to hear you scream on this specific track.
Yeah, that one was really cool because I've never, you know, we've played so many shows at Knock Loose. We're supposed to tour with them before, you know, pandemic took the tour down. We had finished the song and I was kind of just like, I really want someone to sing on this. Like, I just want someone else to take this to a level that I feel like it could go. So, you know, Brian being one of the most unique voices in extreme heavy music right now, I was like, that he's the one, we're big fans, why would we not approach that? So that one was a little more cordial, where I didn't have a dialogue with him already, so I kind of went through some friends that are friends with him, and then we ended up getting in touch, and it was the same thing. Like, everyone's just cool, everyone wants to do cool stuff together, and Brian crushed the song. Like, it's so sick, and as soon as you hear the song and him start it, you're ready for, or you're in for a ride. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. Cause I heard it and I was watching. So I heard the song, and of course, you know, Stranger Things. Have you watched the season 4 for Stranger Things?
I just finished it. I waited until we were done touring and I could sit in one place consistently. And I've been here in California for over a week now. So I was like, okay, it's time. And they didn't have to do me like that. That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah.
No, I was thinking, because you see that epic guitar solo from Eddie for Metallica. And of course, now that like Metallica had to make that statement saying like no gatekeeping, like allow these new metal fans to come in. And I was thinking, I was just laughing to myself because I thought of this morning. What if like Slaughterhouse was the song used in the, in, you know, the Upside Down to really scare off Vecna?
That one might have done it.
Right.
I don't know if we can compete with Master of Puppets, but I suppose we'd be a very close second.
Right. Yeah. Because I think because that guy had to learn that guitar riff specifically. But I was just thinking, like, it would be the funniest thing to have like Stranger Things be the reason why like these kids nowadays are getting more and more into metal and all that, and getting themselves into heavier music and being introduced to it. Because, you know, people are still who are listening to Top 40 are kind of like, who's Metallica? You know, who's back when Paul McCartney was on one Kanye West track? It was like, why is this all? Who's this new nobody? And like, that's what people were asking. But yeah, no, yep. I think it's amazing that, like, you know, hopefully more and more people get introduced to you guys, because it's been awesome to try to play the full album. And people were texting me like, what's that song? Like, what's this? Who's that by? And it's amazing just to have more and more people introduced to you guys, because I remember like back in the day, it was a totally different type of thing to be like into you guys, you know, for the whole emo hill thing. So,
yep.
But like, also, like, I was thinking too, like, what got you guys to look the way you do now, with like the crazy cool makeup and like the cool stage costumes and whatnot? Like, was that a thing growing up as a kid you'd like to do, or what is it?
I just a quick side note. I feel like I got to write this down on my phone, that we need to name the next album Emo Hill.
Yes. Yes, you do.
That's a very good title. I will die on Emo Hill defending my emo rights. I think that the answer to your question is just, we look like the bands that we grew up listening to, that are the ones that were within this realm that we really love. You know, Misfits, AFI, Cradle of Filth, like 18 Vision. There's so many bands that we wanted to sound like, and we really loved when getting into being in a band, that it kind of was just like, we already looked like that anyway, and it just came into the band. It had many iterations and many phases where certain members of the band didn't quite look like that, or it came and went over the very many years that we've had so many different phases. But I mean, at least for me, it's always just been, I just wanted to look like I was in one of the bands that I loved the most. Kind of the same. I'm sure. I don't know if you ever got up on Emo Hill and had any of your friends paint your nails or do your eyeliner or anything like that. But you know, you look the part of the things that you connect with and love the most and love visually. And that's kind of just how it always has been. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool because I love the individuality and like the creativity and whatnot. And like, I remember just seeing you guys come out on stage and I was like, whoa, like this is going to be a crazy performance. And I love the song you guys came out to as well. I believe I had to like look this up and search for it. It's like that Rez song called Edge or something, to where it's like that kind of scary tone. And then you do the big buildup for Thoughts and Prayers. And then that's when the whole pushing started. And, you know, it's just the big buildup to the amazing performance. But I also love the fact that you went on stage and said like, I'm so sorry, I'm not feeling so well tonight, and like, we'll have to make it up to you. And it's, I love the brutal honesty of that as well.
Yeah, there's that tour I went through a really, really rough sickness. I think 3 days in, as soon as we went from LA to San Jose, I woke up in San Jose and I was like, oh no, I could just feel my face just blowing up. Couldn't breathe, couldn't swallow, just razor blades in my throat. And it just developed over the next like week and a half to be one of the gnarliest sicknesses I've gotten on tour. And I felt so horrible because I felt like, you know, all the Canadian shows, the Boise show, the Colorado show, all Salt Lake City, like I just felt like I was letting our fans down. Like, they came to get this awesome, you know, package deal of all these bands in this big show, and here I am just struggling to even speak. And it destroyed me mentally more than it hurt even physically. But the cool thing is, you know, two of those cities we're getting the makeup coming up soon in September. And then we'll continue to try to find ways to get back to those other ones as soon as possible so I can, you know, get redemption and give these fans the show that they came for. But fortunately, everyone was like incredibly nice and understanding. Very oddly enough, Salt Lake City was probably the worst of all the shows that I tried to perform. And we sold the second most amount of merch at that show on the whole tour. So I'm assuming fans were just like, you know, we're going to back the band and show them that it's okay. You know, you can have a bad day, you could be sick, you could whatever. And just, it was like, wow, this is, it really made me feel like okay and able to find the fact that they were being so supportive. Like, all right, I'll get through this and I'll come back stronger and finish the tour and then come back and give them a show.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was one of those dudes that bought the merch. I bought the poster as well. It's on top of my little like movie display case above all my horror movies. It's like just you guys staring out in the living room. Every time I have like a friend over, I have to explain. Like, I'm a big fan of this band. They look like this, you know. Check them out. Well,
it's funny.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for joining me today, man. It's been awesome to get the chance to talk to you. Like I said, I've been begging for this interview to happen, and my boss Victor's like, "It's happening next week," and I'm like, "Oh yes," you know. So. Thank you.
Sorry for the wait.
No, it's all good. I really understand that you're busy, all, you know, quite busy. We've got the tour coming up and excited to hear all the, you know, positive reviews of that and whatnot. And very excited for other people to see those, you guys, as well as Ice Nine Kills and Black Veil Brides all together.
It's going to be awesome to do it again. So hopefully we'll get one more run where we could do all the other places that we didn't get on leg one or two and give, you know, Canada and North America, or all of North America, including, you know, even elsewhere that we could get to within that time. Be great to just keep it going. Fans were really pumped. So just want to do cool stuff with my friends.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, man. I'm glad we got to do it. I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but
it's all good.
I appreciate you being at the show and supporting the band with playing. It's really rad that you play the whole record. That's very unheard of. So
we're like the only station that ever does anything from start to finish, really, when it comes to albums. And I know, like, when Lorna Shore's album comes out, my boss is gonna play that. He played Whitechapel's new album when that came out, and I did the same thing for Volbeat, but they backed out of the Boise show, so I've had a grudge against them ever since. Like, as a joke on the air, like, you guys back out and I have to watch Ghost by myself. Like, only even I'm a big fan of Ghost, but Volbeat, the drummer, like, was asymptomatic for COVID. They had to cancel the whole thing, and I was just so bummed out because I've been wanting to see them live for many, many years. So
sure. Well, I hope that your fans appreciate the fun grudge, and you just drive it. And you need to stage some sort of battle between you and Volbeat next time they come back.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no, because most of the listeners agree with me, but also, like, I pretend I'm angry on the air most of the time. They're like, why is Peaches so cranky, like, all the time on the air? And it's just like, they hate me already because the whole California thing, when you move to Idaho specifically, they hate the Californians. And I'm just pretending I'm, like, ruling. Yeah. I'm not pretending I'm buying all the housing and, like, driving up gas prices and just ruining everything for everybody.
The enemy.
Right.
The enemy.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited for the next album, Emo Hill, as well.
Oh my God, dude. It's so funny. I wrote it in my phone.
Because I know a lot of those kids from, like, Los Alamitos High School down there in Southern California would be ecstatic for that to happen.
Hopefully some of them are listening and get the reminder of Emo Hill. I'm sure people have moved on from that, but it's very funny to me. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I've been really enjoying those TikToks of the Masterpiece duets. Like, I've just been loving watching those people, like, show off their talents. And I get so mad because I'm like, I can't sing. I can't do anything like that. And I can't, like, display my talents like that, you know?
Yeah, some of them are insane. Like, it made me feel like, cool, so I'm a singer. Why? Like, these people are so good and singing next to me. And I'm just like, cool, I'll just crawl in the back in a hole now.
Just
they're awesome.
Casually. All right, have you picked a winner yet for that?
No, I've been so busy. I didn't feel like I was going to be able to give everyone a fair shot of going through it all, like, without being distracted. So I'm about to start doing that next week. I'm going to start going through and, like, giving each one their time and making sure that it's a fair shot. So I pick soon, very soon.
Cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you again, Chris, for joining me today. Unfortunately, I'm going to California next week as well. So I'll be there shortly.
Enjoy.
All right.
Enjoy.
All right. All righty.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See you later.
See ya. Bye.